Man, I had fun this morning. I had a good time this morning. The more I preach, the more fun it becomes. I don't know where it's good or not, but I sure do have a good time, I'll tell you that. A middle-aged guy, I got a few of these. I like this kind of stuff. You give me a break. A middle-aged guy had just been dumped by his wife, so he decides to go out and buy a shiny new red BMW Z3 convertible. He's driving along at 80 miles an hour when he sees a flashing light on a police car in a rearview mirror. What in the world? He can't keep up with the BMW, he thinks to himself, so he floors it. Your kind of guy. A few minutes later, he's overcome with guilt. Not you anymore. Hey, what am I doing, he thinks, and slows down and pulls over. The cop asks him for his license and walks around the car while he examines both. When the cop gets back to the driver's door, he says, "It's Friday the 13th. My shift is about over. I'm tired and I want to go home. If you can give me a good excuse, I'll let you go." The guy thinks for a split second and says, "My wife just ran away with a policeman. I thought you were trying to give her back." That's terrible. I read that kind of stuff in church. A man was just waking up from anesthesia after surgery, and his wife was sitting by his side. His eyes fluttered open, and he said, "You're beautiful." Then he fell asleep again. His wife had never heard him say that before, so she stayed by his side. A few minutes later, his eyes opened again, and he said, "You're cute." His wife was disappointed now because instead of beautiful, she's now cute. She asked, "What happened to beautiful?" The man replied, "The drugs are wearing off." One more. I promise this is it. Fellow lived alone on an Irish countryside with only a pet dog for company. One day the dog died, and Muldoon went to the Baptist church in town and said, "Preacher, my dog is dead. Could you be saying a prayer for the poor creature?" The preacher replied, "I'm afraid not. We cannot have services for an animal in the church, but there are some Catholics down the lane, and there's no telling what they believe, and maybe they'll do something for the animal." Fellow says, "I'll go there right away. Do you think $5,000 is enough to donate to them for the service?" The preacher says, "Good night, son. Why didn't you tell me the dog was a Baptist?" Bus meeting this Friday, Josh's house. 5 p.m. this Friday. Bring a side or dessert. And if you ask real nice, probably a main course or a potato. You just keep asking. He'll let you keep bringing. There's no doubt about that. Friday, this Friday, Josh's house, 5 p.m., bring a side or a dessert. He's got a nice apartment, too. You need to go see it. Everybody's invited, not just the bus people. Ah, praise the Lord. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 17. Title of the message tonight is Altogether Unprofitable But Good and Faithful. Altogether Unprofitable But Good and Faithful. There's nothing better while you're turning. There's nothing better, and I hope you understand this. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. Honest to goodness, I have done a lot of things in my life, and there is nothing better than serving the Lord. Oh, it's not easy. And there's a lot of times when you have to go through things that you don't think you ought to go through. There's a lot of times when you go through pressures and pains and torments of being a person, but you're going to get that no matter where you're at. But there's nothing better at the end of the day than serving the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it made me feel wonderful to know that Brother Bob had talked to that young girl back there, and she said that she understood and she got saved today. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. There's nothing better than watching lives get changed. There's nothing better than doing everything that you can. There's nothing better than serving Jesus Christ, knowing that some fine day you're going to get to be there with Him. Nothing better. In Luke chapter 17, He gives us a parable. Now, in another chapter, in Matthew, we're also going to go over another parable. I'm going to compare the two tonight. And I'm going to ask you a question. Can you be altogether unprofitable and good and faithful? That's the question you have to ask yourself. And it boils down to one simple thing. It all boils down to your attitude towards your service to the King. You can be altogether unprofitable, but also very good and faithful. It's interesting, isn't it? That Jesus Christ can give you such two different ends of the spectrum in a parable. two different parables, but still telling you the same thing. And really, it should get our minds to start thinking differently about when we serve the King. It should get our minds to start thinking, what a wonderful reward this is to be able to serve the King. What a great opportunity it is to serve the Lord. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 17. Let's all stand as we read verse number 7. The Bible says, "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Let me read that last statement to you one more time. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Brother Mike, lead us in prayer, please.
Soften our hearts that we can receive the Holy Spirit through Pastor Dave's teaching. Through the Holy Spirit, Lord, be with them and be with the visitors today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. It's amazing as Christians how often we find ourselves using Jesus Christ as a genie in a lamp, using Jesus Christ as, how dare you not give me what I want, I serve you. It's amazing how often I've heard people say that Jesus Christ is not worth serving just because of the fact that it's a thankless life or a poor life to have. The Lord gives you a parable here talking about a servant serving his master. The master is certainly not going to say to his servant, "I tell you what, servant, you go ahead and go have dinner, I'll make it for you." That's just not going to happen. What's going to happen, though, is the master is going to say, "Servant, you go ahead and serve me. You go ahead and take care of me. And when I have eaten and I have drank, I will go ahead and let you eat. Then after that, you can eat only after I have eaten." And he's not going to thank the servant because the servant is doing only that which he is commanded to do. In other words, that servant is doing his job. It's amazing how often that we give rewards today to people that just do their job. It's amazing how much we dole out in mutual admiration society with large pats on the back because somebody came and did what they were supposed to do. It's amazing that we think that it's required now to go ahead and give a rah-rah speech to everyone that does anything. We talked this morning about the fact that the grave has no power over us. If you're saved in here, the grave has no power over you. It's so exciting to know that. It's so exciting to know that Jesus has given us so much. Jesus left heaven, left the wonderful splendors of heaven, and decided that it was important enough to love us enough to leave that wonderful place, the crown behind, all those things that were there, the angels worshiping him, shouting, "Holy, holy, holy," all the wonderful things that were there. He left it all to come down here to be born of a virgin and then offered as a sacrifice, him going willingly for you and for me. It's amazing to think that Jesus, can anybody say amen, owes us anything. If you look at the scripture, "And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Now, it did not say they weren't good servants. It did not say they weren't faithful servants. They just weren't generating a profit. They were doing what they were supposed to do. Now you might say to me, Brother Dave, how's that possible? How's it possible that they aren't generating a profit? Well, this is a parable. What you must understand about this is Jesus is using this to get your mind moving. Jesus is doing this to make you think, why in the world would I expect to be thanked? Why would I expect to be thanked for doing that which is my duty, to doing that which I am supposed to do? Understand this. I am glad that we laud the people that go ahead and serve the Lord for long amounts of time. I don't care about a guy that preaches to 5,000 and he's been preaching for a day. That doesn't bother me at all. Matter of fact, I couldn't care less about that fella. But you give me somebody that served in the ministry for 30 years, I get pretty excited about that. You give me somebody that's been faithful for years and years and years and years, I get excited about that. You show me a man that runs a bus route for 30 years. You show me a lady that runs a bus route for 30 years. You show me somebody that starts out young and finishes old in the bus ministry. You show me somebody that shows up for choir. You show me, and I didn't come today, I'm sorry about that, Brother Mark. You show me somebody that comes and plays that piano. For how many years has Miss Rosie played the piano? You show me somebody like that that has longevity and faithfulness and sticks with it, then yes, I think we can give them an applause. I think we can give them a thank you. I think we can do those things, but it was still their duty to do it. God blesses faithfulness, and the Bible never makes a mistake about that. He blesses people that serve Him with faithfulness. He blesses that faithfulness. I don't care about a guy that can't wait to stand up here and tell you all the things he's done, tell you all the courses he's won, all the degrees he's earned, all the people he's led to Christ. I've got no use for a man that's up here looking to get clapped for. I got no use for that. You just serve God, because no matter what you do or how much you do of it, it's still just your duty. This may not be happy time, this may not be ticklish time, but you must understand this. Don't expect God to jump up and down. Be faithful, because God died for you. What in the world can we possibly do that's worthy to repay it? Nothing. Anything we do is duty. Anything. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice. I think you all are getting to know that verse real good. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your? It's reasonable for you to desire to serve God. The problem is, we don't want to serve Him the way He wants us to serve Him. We want to serve God how we want to serve God. Now understand this, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what God's going to do with you. You have no idea. But no matter what, you're not generating a profit for Him. You why you're not generating a profit? It's real simple. You know why? He owns it all. How can you generate a profit when the fellow owns everything? There's nothing that God doesn't have in His control. All He wants is your obedience. All He wants is your servitude, and it's our duty. It's a reasonable service. It's a reasonable service, Brother Bill, to desire to serve God. The problem is we serve Him, and it becomes humdrum, and it becomes a daily grind, and it becomes something more of a job than a calling. I don't care. Well, you can pick what the least job is. I really don't like that thought, to be real honest with you, that there's a least job for God. I really don't like that. Because Jesus even makes a statement, the least of these, my brethren, you have done unto me. It doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Not wanting people to see what you're doing. Not being a big, long, making pretense in prayer like the Pharisees and Sadducees. Glory to God. Talk to God like you know Him a little bit. We have become unprofitable because we've changed the attitude. I want you to look at a scripture in Matthew. I just want to change your thought process. I don't want you to serve God and hate it. Listen, there were years in my ministry, and you, whatever, you can take this for what it's worth. I'm glad nobody else in this room has ever gone through this. There were years in my ministry, I didn't want to come to church. I'm glad nobody else has gone through this. Apparently the people sitting here are going through it right now. There were years I didn't want to go to church. Why? Because it became a drudgery to me. Is that possible? You're a preacher. I'm human. And yeah, it becomes to the point where, Nobody's listening to me. Nobody cares what I'm saying. Nobody, I'm standing up there wailing away and my face is turning red and I'm soaking my clothes and I'm leaving and nobody's lives are different. It was week after week after week after week. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Some of you have been serving God longer than I've been here, a lot longer. And I'm closing in, believe it or not, on 18 years here. What's amazing to me is I'm more excited about serving God now than I ever have been. And there's still days, Brother Mike, there's still days when I feel altogether unprofitable. There's still days when I feel like I'm just not doing what God wants me to do. Has anybody tuned into the channel? Has anybody ever thought, you know what? It's just not worth it. Before you get too far off the track here, please understand, there's not enough you could do to pay back Christ. Not enough. As we turn over into Matthew, I'm going to introduce another parable to you that should make you a little bit encouraged. I've fully discouraged you now. But in all honesty, even that's an encouragement. He owns it all. He owns it. He blesses faithfulness, not flash. He blesses faithfulness. He doesn't bless a man that starts out right and ends up wrong. He blesses faithfulness. Yes, he'll bless in the front because he's the one that does the blessing. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad it's not me. I'm glad it's not me. I'm glad it's not contingent on me. All I have to do is be faithful. The things that God does, God does. I didn't save that lady this morning. I didn't save that lady. God did it. I didn't have to do it. I just had to show up and preach the word. She's the one that got saved because God did it. Don't stand up here and say, wow, how thankful, how wonderful, how great, hogwash, I'm a sinner just like you. But Christ is the one that does the saving. Christ is the one that gave us the word of God. Christ is the one that paid the price. And glory to God, we get to serve him. It's impossible to be profitable. He owns it all. Look at these verses. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Look at this next. I want you to see this, and you should underline this. I want you to really look at this. I preach this a lot, but I want you to see it. To every man according to his several ability. Now listen, I am not the same as you. Some of you can handle a lot more talent than I can. He may give Bill 10 talents and give me 5. He may give me 2 and Brother Mike 7. He may give Brother Marty 25 talents and only give me 3. Every man according to his several ability. You might say to a preacher, that's not fair. He's doing what you can do. He knows you inside and out. He knows what you can handle. He knows where you're going. He knows where you've been. He knows where your heart is. He knows where your thoughts are. And he's only going to give you that which you can handle. Look at what this says. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done. Boy, wouldn't you like to have that? Well done. I can honestly say the jury's out with me. I couldn't tell you that the Lord's going to say, well done. I couldn't. Any man that can stand up there and say, I think the Lord's going to say, well done, he's out of his mind. He's out of his mind. I can bring up a lot more bad than I can bring up good about Dave Ballard. Him saying, well done, is something that I'll cherish if he does. He looked, his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. We are altogether unprofitable. We can still be good and faithful. Look at what this says. Look at verse 21. I want you to notice something. A comparison between the two. What you should get excited about is this. We'll move on in a second, but I want to compare these two verses. What you're going to get excited about is this. I am not Bob Shell. You can get excited about that because there's only one of me, too. Be quiet. Not that excited. You can get excited about that because there's only one of you. Now, I mention this a lot, but I want you to understand something. Don't try to be who you're not. God made you. If you want to be somebody you're not, guess what you're calling God? A dummy. Well, you made me wrong. I'm supposed to be him. I'm supposed to be her. I'm not supposed to be me. No, God made you the way you are to do what you can do that nobody else can do. Nobody. There's not one person on the earth that can do what Brother Mark Thompson can do except Brother Mark Thompson. Nobody. Why? Because God made him that way. God didn't mess up when he made Mark. I know we like to think that, but God didn't mess up when he made Brother Mark. He didn't mess up. He did perfect. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. God doesn't make a mistake. God doesn't fool around and create something that ought not been good. When God made Bill, he broke the mold, just like he broke the mold on every single one of you. Not one person did he make and then make another one just like you. We had twins here. We had Brooke and Abby were twins here, but they were different, no doubt about it. We had twins in the school. They were Mary and Catherine. I called them Mary Catherine. I could never tell them apart. Even at the end, they were with me for 2 years. I still couldn't tell them apart at the end. They were that close, but they were still different. I want to show you a comparison between two, and this should make you excited. This should make you encouraged. I'm not asking you to win 1 million souls. I'm asking you to do what God can do with you. I'm not asking you, Brother Jack, to go and drive a bus route. I'm asking you to do what Jack Knight can do. That's all. That's all. Look at what it says here. Verse 21, the man that got 5 talents gets this answer out of his Lord. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. How many talents did he have? How many talents did he gain? How much increase is that? 100%. Is that not true? He gave 100% of his effort. Is that not true? Amen. The Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Look at 23. The fellow that had 2 talents. Is that correct? This is the answer that the man with 2 talents got. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. One word has changed from verse to verse. One word. Now, wait a minute, Brother Coolidge. Wait a minute now. Brother David, this man ended up with 10, and the other fella only ended up with 4. How in the world are they getting the same answer? That's not right. One man had 10. The other man had 4. How in the world are you telling me that that's right? How can the Lord answer the same? How can he answer the same? Let me ask you a question. I get a little bit excited about this. The fellow that had 2, how many did he gain? What kind of increase is that? How many percent? So how much difference is that from the fellow that had 5 and gained 5, the fellow that had 2 gained 2? It's 100% increase. They both gave everything they had. And the Lord said, well done! I know you only gained 2. I can't do as much as Brother Carl has done. But the Lord said, well done, because you're doing with what you have. You sit there and try to say, well, I can't do this, and because I can't do it, I'll stop serving God. Listen, you're going to be unprofitable anyway. You might as well be a good and faithful servant too. God owns everything. Don't think that you're profiting God by your service. We get high-minded. We get heady, thinking, oh my goodness, if I can just donate this amount of money. The greatest giver in the history of the world was the widow. She gave everything. Oh, it was only 2 mites. She wouldn't even get her name on a brass plaque on the door for that, Brother Bill. Hey, listen. I would rather be 100%er and give everything I've got than worry about being somebody I'm not and not serving God. You have, unfortunately, this is the sad part. You have no excuse. You have no excuse. If you're in here under the sound of my voice and you know the Lord is your Savior, you owe Him. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Why? Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, I don't know about you, but if the Lord's willing to do that for me, I wonder what in the world I should be willing to do for the Lord. Should I take the talent that He's given me and bury it in the ground? Should I take that which He's trusted me with, Brother Mike? And listen to me, if you're saved in here today, He's trusted you with something right now. He's trusted you with salvation. He's trusted you that you won't keep it inside. He's trusted you that you won't take that salvation and bury it in the ground and not share it. I got to be honest with you, the only reason I'm saved is because somebody shared it with me. And if you think back in your life, the only reason you're saved is because somebody shared it with you. There's somebody responsible for your salvation, humanly speaking, down the road. I know Christ does the saving, but unless somebody brings the message, salvation doesn't happen. And you must understand something. Every single one of us has been given a thing that we've got inside of us that can never be, glory to God, can never be taken away, called salvation. And we are prompted, no, we are required to share it. Oh, now we're going to be unprofitable. We can't give the Lord profit. We can't do it because He owns it all. But we can still be good and faithful. Unprofitable, but good and faithful. We can serve God with everything we have. I'm not asking you for your wallet. I'm not, although if you'd like to. I think we're getting pizza tonight. Makes me want to say amen right now. Dinner, let's pray. I watch folks. Come here. The Lord saved this young man, right? Okay, good. That's important. The Lord saved Jimmy. Inside of him beats a heart that's a forgiven one. Now, Jimmy can do 2 things. One, he can decide that he's never going to tell anybody. Or he can give what has been given to him back to the Master 100%. 100%. Now you might think, well, what if Brother Jimmy never leads anybody to Christ? That's not his job. His job is to tell people about Christ. His job is to warn people about what they need to do to get saved. His job is to be a Christian. His job is to lead a good life as a kid. His job is to be obedient. Are you doing any of these, by the way? I'm just wondering. If he decides to do, because Jimmy, he's got a lot of talent. He really does. He's got a lot of talent. We're wondering where he got it, but he's got a lot of talent. And understand this. If Jimmy gives what Jimmy has, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Let me sit down. Now, wait a minute. I like this because this is the part I need. Well, what happens, Brother Dave, if I didn't serve Jesus all my life? And now at the end, I'm deciding to serve him. Give everything you've got for the rest of your days. Give everything you've got for the rest of your days. Because inside you, the Lord knew what you were going to do. He knew. When he gave you that precious gift of salvation, he knew what he was going to get from you. As sad as that is, you wish it wouldn't be that way. I got saved at 11 years old, lived like the devil for years after that. I'm not one of those success stories. I got saved and came out of all that. No, I got saved and went in it. You must understand. You must understand. Don't think that your life, and I want you to hear this because this is something that helps keep me going. Don't think that your life won't matter. Don't think that because you weren't saved out of your sin, or because you went back into sin, or because you did the thing, or because you did this, or because you did that. This is not a diet plan, brother. This is serving Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, you give what you've got. You give everything that you've got. You be faithful to Jesus Christ. And when you get to see him, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We're not looking for profit. We're looking for faithfulness. We're not looking for somebody that's going to be great and glorious. We're looking for some sinners that want to serve Christ. I know that I am a sinner. See, that's where the most preachers make their mistakes, when they get above being a sinner. I am a sinner. And I'll never let loose of that fact. I'm going to tell you, what haunts me is the fact of how guilty I feel of the wasted years that I've had. The wasted years being given such a great gift at 11 years old and not doing anything with it. I've got a whole row of kids here that have heard about Christ from their youth up. And I hope and pray that not one of this row of children ever go astray. So they can say one day, God gave me a gift when I was a young child, and I gave everything I had back. Don't be looking for plaques. One of my most hated things. Don't ever give me a plaque. I hate plaques. I am a sinner. God uses me occasionally. But don't sit here and say, because of this or because of that or because of this man, it's all Jesus Christ. It's all Jesus Christ. I'll wait and look at my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, thank you. Because I know who I was. By the way, and I'm all done. Knowing who you were, it does not give you excuse not to serve him. It does not. The things that you've done wrong in the past do not give you opportunity to say, I'm not going to serve Christ. They do not. Every mouth stopped. The whole world guilty. We know that. That does not give you the right to say, I'm not going to serve him. But what it does do, it does grant you a reason to serve him. I remember who I was. Let me show you a scripture. I didn't have this plan. One of my favorite scriptures. I use it a lot in counseling. Turn over into 2 Corinthians for me. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3, I want you to see this because I want you to understand something. You've got a job that only you can do. You've got something that's put in front of you. You can hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, yet you'll still be unprofitable. Look at this. Verse 3 says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You're not going to find comfort anywhere but Him because He's the God of all of it. That's what the Bible says. Can you say amen to that? Real simple. It's hard to understand the Bible, right? And the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Glory to God. When you need comfort, He's there for you if you just go and see Him. Get inside His Bible. I'm going through some time. I'm going to tell you, that family that had that mama die, they're going to need Christ. That family that you can't explain what's going on. You can't explain why that would happen. A young lady getting a brain aneurysm, all of a sudden she's gone. I got news for you. They're going to need Christ. Because they're not going to find comfort anywhere else. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we... Why? Why does He comfort us? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Why did He put you through that? Why did He put you through that torment? Why did He put you through those hard times? Why? Because you're going to come across somebody someday and He's going to use you. Look at what this says. Which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He looks at you and He says, you're unprofitable, but if you're good and faithful, I'm going to use you. You never know how many people that have come across my path that have trouble with alcohol. What did I have trouble with? Alcohol. It's not surprising to me that I get to deal with people like that because I know what kind of a stranglehold that terrible, horrible, rotten drink can do. I know what it can do. It can change a person. It can make them somebody they're not. And the Lord had given me comfort to get through that mess. Why? Because He knew someday I was going to meet somebody else that needed my help. Well, you got to understand, as you cry about the things you've gone through, hey, listen, put them in a logbook because you're going to run across somebody that needs your help. Rely on Jesus Christ because the person you meet may not have them. And you might be able to tell them, listen, I didn't get through this without Christ. Your life's a great example, man. Don't you think that you went through that life on accident. Now listen, I'm not going to be an advocate for sin. Go off into sin so you can learn something. Hey, listen, I got a whole row of kids here that I can't wait to hear preach, stay pure. I got a whole row of kids here that are going to go through things that they've never seen before, they never understood before, and you ought to support your... By the way, support your teenagers here to stay pure. Support your teenagers here to not drink alcohol. Support your teenagers to stay out of pornography. Support your teenagers. Support your youth workers here. They're trying their death to keep your kids out of trouble, to try to keep them out of what I went through. Why? So we have some kids left that have gone through it and not done what they ought not do. Instead of parading the sinners up here that have gotten saved, and I'm glad for it, instead of parading them up here, glory to God, let's pray some kids up here that have not done it. I'd like to have 100 million of this young man right here. Why? Because he's kept himself pure. He's kept himself right. He's led a better life than me. That's why I say, wow. Let me explain something to you. God gave me my life for a purpose. He gave Him His life for a purpose. Don't you ever be afraid to preach your testimony and say, hey, listen, I never drank alcohol. And you can live without it. He never did drugs. And you can make it without it. He never got into pornography. Better not be. And you can do it without it. See, God made His life for a purpose. What He does with it now. What He does with it. Thou good and faithful servant. Is what He does with it. I only got 2 talents. Bill got 5. I got 2. But if I can just give Him 4. If I can just give Him 4. That's all He's asking. You got to give Him 10. I feel bad for you. I only have to give Him 4. How many did He give you? How many? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because I gave everything I had. Because, and this is good, and I'm all done. Because He gave everything He had. He gave everything He had. I'm so thankful He did. Because I want to give Him the 2 that I've got. with two more. That's all I got to give. That's all I got. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, help me for the rest of my days to give what I have. To give it, Lord, not grudgingly, but with a desire to serve the King. Lord, help me to give back what you've given me. It wasn't even mine to begin with. That's what's amazing. What you gave me wasn't even mine to begin with. It came from you. It makes awfully good sense that I'd want to give it back to you. It makes awfully good sense for those of us that are saved to try to do something to give it back. To try to do something. Someday we're going to get to lay those crowns at your feet. And we're going to be excited to do that. We're going to be excited to give what you've given us back to you. Lord, please help me. Help me to be strong enough to give 100%. Help me to be strong enough and not distracted and let the world come in. Lord, protect me. Put a hedge around me, Lord, that when I am done here, that I can go and be with you and say, here's my four. Here's my four. Lord, maybe you only gave me two. Maybe you only gave me one. I sure would like to give you two. Oh, God, help me. Help me to look to you, to give back at least a portion of what you've given me. Lord, please help these people of Bethel Baptist Church to realize we're not going to make a profit here. He's got it all. But we can still be good and faithful. We can still be faithful and just stewards of what God has given us. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say they know that they know that they know 100% sure that if they died right now, this very moment, that they would go to be to heaven in heaven with Jesus Christ? Can you put your hands up real big and tall? You may put them down. How many can say, you know what? I'm just not sure. I'm not sure. He's never even given me one talent. He's never even given me salvation. I've never even asked him to come into my heart. Well, I got news for you. If you've never done that, you're going to hell. You're on your way there, going to split it wide open, and I can't change that. But you can. You can change that by simply asking Christ to come into your heart. So if you do not know him as Savior and you'd like to get that settled today, could you put your hand up real big and tall? I don't know, but I sure would like to know. Please pray for me. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I sure will pray for you. Put your hands up real big and tall. That means everybody in here is saved. I'm glad for that. Know this. Jesus Christ gave you a talent that only you can have. He's given you, and I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care if it was today you did something wrong. You still can stop what you're doing and do right and give God everything you've got. You owe it to him. He deserves it. He's died for us. He's made a way for us to get to heaven. You're going to get to spend eternity walking streets of gold. I think we can walk the streets of pavement for just a little while. Lord, please help us today. I'm not going to ask for a raising of hands. I'm going to ask for a dealing at the altar. Lord, please help some decisions be made today that they will give what they've got left to Jesus Christ. They will give what they've got left to you, realizing that they're going to be unprofitable, but they sure can be good and faithful. Lord, please help us just to give back that which you have given us. Be with us today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody standing. Brother Mark, what song are we on? 397, the altar's open. Come quickly to do right.